Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy says his agreement with the University of Alaska leaders to reduce the university budget can be a model for funding other agencies and nonprofits. Nonprofit leaders say they're open to working with the governor, but it's unclear how the approach will work in practice. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Governor Dunleavy says the university agreement could help as the state works with other organizations to help close a gap of more than $1.5 billion between what the state spends and what it brings in.
If we can work with an institution like the University of Alaska, and this is a model, I think we can work with other agencies going forward, other nonprofits. How can they contribute? How can they help us all work together as Alaskans to deal with this fiscal issue?
University leaders say the agreement to reduce spending by $70 million over 3 years provides a glide path for the university compared with Dunleavy's original plan of cutting $135 million in a single year. University President Jim Johnson gave credit to the governor, legislators, and others.
This is an opportunity to pivot to the positive.
But the agreement follows an initial veto that Johnson described as devastating. And even as the university president says the veto is in the past, he says the damage in recruiting top staff from the veto will last.
I believe it's also damaged the university's ability to enroll students. No question about that. But that's done.
Dunleavy's mention of working with nonprofits is welcomed by Diane Kaplan. She's the president and CEO of the Rasmussen Foundation, the state's largest private foundation. She says the foundation has reached out to Dunleavy's office many times since he was elected, but he hasn't met with them.
We have a lot of business with the state. We really don't know what the governor's vision is going forward with a lot of the programs that we have invested in with the state. So I hope he follows through on that and is willing to meet with people who are trying to do good to make Alaska better.
While Dunleavy's agreement with the university is leading to cuts, the state tried a different approach with another publicly funded nonprofit on Wednesday. Alaska Legal Services Corporation won't face a second veto of more than $750,000 in state funding, but the agency agreed to limit the use of state money to assist victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. Nicole Nelson is the corporation's executive director.
It's critical to helping us maintain our statewide footprint and our offices throughout Alaska, including the rural communities.
Nelson says the state provides 15% of the corporation's funding. She says the organization is still reviewing what the impact on legal services will be from the state dedicating its funding to a specific area.
What I can say is that we as an organization continue to be committed to providing legal aid on a full range of civil legal issues.
Dunleavy is weighing what to veto in a bill that would reduce his vetoes and pay permanent fund dividends at a reduced $1,600 level this year. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Record-breaking temperatures are searing the state. One spot where the evidence of that heat wave is especially apparent is on a glacier near Skagway. Icefield Expeditions operates a sled dog tour on the Denver Glacier above the city. Their hopes for a full season melted in the heat wave. The snow was gone before August. KHNS's Claire Strempel reports.
About 6,000 feet above Skagway, hundreds of sled dogs spend the summer taking tourists for rides. The camp looks improbable, perched on a high glacier, nestled between jagged peaks. Rows of doghouses and tents form a tiny spot on the blank landscape. Icefield Expeditions has been running tours since 1999. They fly tourists up to remote glacier camps by helicopter and take them for a spin with professional dog sled teams.
Real quick, on our left here is our photographer, Riley. She's going to snap our photo in a moment.
It's a way for elite dogs from around the country to stay active in the off-season when they're not running the Iditarod or the Yukon Quest.
It's kind of like low-grade weightlifting.
Musher Matt Hayashida is the general manager for Icefield Expeditions.
Even though these are all ultra-marathon racing dogs, some of the muscle building that the dogs get through our tours, it helps benefit them and prevents injury later on in the racing season.
It's also a way for mushers to stay employed. Hayashida's been with the company since the beginning. He was a young musher, fresh off his first few Iditarods, when he signed on for the off-season. He spent his summers on the glacier to fund his race kennel.
You know, my mom always said, follow your passion and the money will follow. I'm still waiting for the money part, but what better way to promote the sport, still have the dogs get exercise, and for us to make some money to help feed the dogs throughout the winter time too.
But even though summer tourism in Skagway is still in full swing, the camp on the Denver Glacier is gone. The season closed early because there wasn't enough snow to run the tours safely.
Over the last couple of years, precipitation and snowpack conditions across southeast Alaska has been below normal.
Aaron Jacobs is a hydrologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says regionally, the snowpack is less than half of normal.
But the bigger thing, I think, is the temperatures. Temperatures have definitely warmed. The trend over the last 10 to 20 years, that temperature has been rising.
Another piece of the puzzle locally is the pollen that swept through the Upper Lynn Canal this year. A lot of it blew up onto the glacier. The dark matter of the pollen absorbs sunlight, and it accelerated snowmelt. Much of southeast Alaska is experiencing drought conditions this summer. For hydrologists like Jacobs, this weather is charting new territory. He was recently part of a conference with experts from around the nation to figure out how to talk about drought in Alaska. Drought indicators that work in the lower 48 don't apply to places like temperate rainforests.
So this is pretty historical at this time. It doesn't seem like we're having much relief.
That means businesses that depend on snow have to adapt to survive. Icefield Expeditions is doing just that.
We just move way further up elevation.
Hayashida has seen low snow years before, but nothing like this. This year, conditions pushed the camp off the Denver Glacier altogether. The season that usually runs through September ended in July. But the company also runs tours on the Mendenhall Glacier above Juneau.
Same deal over there. But we had an option over there.
They had to scout new, even higher altitude terrain on the Mendenhall Glacier. But it was flat enough to set up camp and run tours. So they moved 240 dogs and 60,000 pounds of equipment from the Denver Glacier above Skagway to camp on the Mendenhall Glacier.
And we're still operating there and probably will into September.
It's riskier to be further up. Conditions can change at any time, potentially canceling tours. But the team knows their stuff, and they're happy to be running at all. So, to ride with the dogs, you have to get way up above Juneau on the Mendenhall Glacier. Luckily, it's been good weather for flying. In Skagway, I'm Claire Strempel.
A witness told federal investigators he saw an airplane performing aggressive flight maneuvers shortly before it crashed earlier this month near Girdwood, killing all four people on board. The witness account is included in a National Transportation Safety Board preliminary report on the crash, released Thursday. The preliminary report does not include a cause for the August 4th crash. The victims' names have not been released. Organizers of the Golden North Salmon Derby are canceling this weekend's fishing contest due to potentially dangerous wind conditions in Juneau area waters. Doug Larson is a co-chair of this year's Derby, in which anglers compete for cash prizes to land the biggest king or coho salmon over a three-day period.
We just cannot, in good conscience, have people out there, you know, trying to catch fish when the conditions are not safe for them. So as much as we regret to do this, we think it's the right thing to do, and we certainly apologize for any inconvenience this creates for people.
In a special weather statement, the National Weather Service forecasts increasing winds on the water Friday afternoon, with gale force winds expected Saturday. Larson says they hope to reschedule. He says they'll make things right with people who already bought tickets and cannot participate on the new dates.
The very first Derby, 73 years ago, they actually did have a postponement because of bad weather. But we've had a string of, 72 years now?
The nonprofit Territorial Sportsmen Incorporated puts on the annual event to raise money for scholarships. And finally, researchers have documented that both babies in the southern resident killer whale pods are still alive. The Seattle Times reports researchers with the Center for Whale Research, which tracks the southern resident population, photographed both babies Sunday, alive and seemingly well, That was welcome news in a population of endangered orcas that dropped to just 73 this month, with three adults missing and presumed dead. The southern resident population is the lowest since the end of the live capture era in Washington waters in 1976. The whales have been on the outer coast all summer, including an unprecedented two-month absence from their summer habitat in the Inner Salish Sea, including the San Juan Islands. Spring and summer Chinook salmon runs have been so low, the whales have not bothered to come. Orca calves have a 50% chance of surviving their first year. And looking at the weather forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, lows in the mid-50s, light winds. Friday, chance of rain, highs in the mid-60s, light winds. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, August 15th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.